Kevin Woodley joins us once again. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Just left Habs practice, where I'm happy to report that Carey Price will be okay after evidently scaring the living right out of Habs Nation with an earlier tweet today after he took one in the throat. So I guess I may have alarmed a few people with the description of him writhing in pain on the ice after taking a shot in the neck.
Yeah, never good. Whichever teammate took that shot likely had his life flash before his eyes, because if there's one guy in Montreal you don't want to injure in practice, it's Carey Price.
Yeah, and I think it was Max Pacioretty that did it. So the captain can usually get away with it, but no question, there was a stern warning from Michel Therrien afterwards, an expletive-laced, keep your shots low, it's just warm-up, guys. So, it's one thing, you don't want guys going easy once things get going, but we were early in the session, and Carey's just trying to feel pucks, and that's one of those things, talking to him after. As a goalie, we've all been there, a shot that we think is going to kind of be in our chest, and so you kind of lift up a little bit, but it just keeps coming up, and instead of kind of, our masks are designed to take those ones flush. The worst thing is when they get underneath the chin. But he started lifting up, and it got under the chin and right square in the throat. And as a guy who's lost an appendix to a slap shot, I can tell you that does not feel good. And I've never had Max Pacioretty shoot at me, so I can only imagine what it felt like for him. So it was none the worse for wear afterwards. Didn't want to answer many questions about it. Just shook it off, and that's what goalies do, right? Keep playing.
Well, the Habs and Carey Price are dynamic right now. There's not much to critique about their team whatsoever. I do want to get your thoughts. Anders Nilsson's first two games with the Oilers, he looked great. Washington came to town, and granted, you know, Washington had some pretty good opportunities, but Nilsson really didn't look comfortable in that game. What did you see? What was different from Friday night for him compared to his first two starts?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was so much different in his, let's face it, let's be honest. I'm not handing out excuses in terms of letting him off the hook entirely. And I haven't seen every game they've played, but from the ones I have, the handful I have seen, I'm guessing other than maybe a couple examples early in the season, that might have been one of the worst defensive efforts. It's not just that you were giving up good chances. It was skill guys in tight with time and space to make moves. And there aren't a lot of teams that have a deeper pool of talent of guys that can make you look silly with those moves than the Washington Capitals. I mean, what, three of them were kind of one-on-ones, partial breaks or breakaways, backdoor tap-ins, and so some pretty good looks from some guys with some pretty good hands, and that factors into it. But that said, I saw a goaltender who is never going to be the most aggressive guy. That's not going to be his game. He's not going to play outside the paint. But when you get into those one-on-one situations, so what you want to do is at least be able to sort of dictate terms of that attack from the top edge of your crease. That's kind of the zone where you want to force a shooter to make a move one way or the other. And when I say force a shooter, I mean, as a goaltender, when we're facing breakaways, especially when it's coming in, you know, say, blue line in or further out, and I know a lot of those were kind of just bang, bang in front of them, all of a sudden the guy was alone. But what you want to do is you want to force a shooter to deke. That's our rule of thumb as goalies. Because if you're coming in on me and you shoot, that can go anywhere. That can go high glove, low glove, five hole, blocker, under the arm. A deke only goes one way. It goes left or it goes right. So you want to establish a depth, preferably around the top edge of the crease, where a shooter's not really seeing a lot of space. You want to sort of take away that visual of, hey, I can beat this guy anywhere because look how deep he is. And Anders did get caught deep on a lot of those. And force him to go right or left, because if you can stay with it and stay with that move, it's just a hard push. And if you can stay over your knees, you can take away most of the net. And even if you get extended, you're at least able to take away the bottom of the net with your pad and hopefully build a little vertical coverage, you know, with your glove and blocker on top of that. So that's the ideal. You want to kind of force a deke. And, you know, I thought in those situations where it was one-on-one, you know, he didn't force anything. Guys could have shot. They could have deked. There was just so much room because of how passive he was and how much he got caught. He's never going to be a guy that comes out 2 or 3 feet and flows back with those plays. I just don't think that's his game. That's not his strength. But you would have liked to have seen him being a little more assertive once it became mano a mano with those Washington shooters.
Yeah, and I don't know if allowing a quick goal has anything to do with that. But, you know, he didn't seem to be as aggressive. Is it fair to say?
Yeah, and like I said, he's not going to be an overly aggressive goaltender by any means. He doesn't need to be as big as he is and as good as he is. As we talked about this earlier, kind of tracking into shots and not opening up net space, but closing off net space with the way he moves his head and the way he moves into shots. And so he's never going to be out there beyond the blue. But, hey, you're right. An early goal can do that to you. Sometimes just the uncertainty of an early backdoor play even, you know, where all of a sudden you sort of have that hesitation and you're sneaking a peek and you're not wanting to get caught. And, you know, for him it'll be really important to kind of find that balance in practice again and make sure he establishes it the next time he gets to start real early.
Kevin Woodley joins us in Goal Magazine and writes at NHL.com talking goaltenders. Now, Devan Dubnyk off to a much slower start than last season. He's dealing with a little bit of a knee injury, as 2.27 goals against and a .909 save percentage, albeit only in six starts. He's won five, he's 5-2 in those games. What do you know, the injury when it's a knee injury and he's playing through it somewhat, Kevin, but how much of a concern is that?
Yeah, it would be a concern to me. Obviously, haven't had a chance to talk to Devan, and clearly from what he's saying, it doesn't sound like there's any fear of it being structural. And yet, you know, the inside, you know, there's two things that we put more stress on than any other parts of our body as goaltenders: hips, and usually those are wear and tear long term, and the inside of our knees. I mean, you see a lot of MCL injuries. Just because that butterfly flare is just not a natural position for the human body, and it really does stretch out the MCL about as much as you'd want to stretch it out. So, you know, anytime you're in, have any type of knee injury, it just, anything that causes you to be hesitant to get to the ice and in that butterfly with conviction, to me, is nervous time. And obviously, they feel that it's under control and it's not going to flare up on them. The beautiful thing in Minnesota is, assuming they fly Nicholas Backstrom, because there seems to be some uncertainty about whether he was even there on that trip with them, is Devan doesn't have to worry about practice. And when I talked to him in the summer, he felt like that was why he was able to play those 38 straight games and set that franchise record, because he could come on early, get his work in with the goalie coach, maybe stay for a few drills once practice stopped or started, and then get off, because he had two other goaltenders there and they would take care of the practice reps. And so he could really manage his game as he needed to, but mostly manage his body. So there is a luxury there that not all teams have in terms of not needing him for practice. But you got to think, just given how important he is to that team and given the struggles that Kemper had the other night and the lack of faith apparently in Backstrom since last season and everything that happened last season, that you would be cautious with him. And you wonder, given the knee injury occurred not in that game but in the previous game, kind of scratch your head that he's even on the bench as the backup when there was no need to be last night in Winnipeg. Obviously, they ended up needing him in relief, but I would think that would be the worst possible situation as a goaltender. If you're fighting something and it's even minor, to then have to get off the bench cold without a chance to warm it up, and have to, bang, bang, go in and make a butterfly save and have complete faith that it's not going to flare up on you. So, to me, that was a curious decision, and, I hope for their sake that he's going to be all right, because otherwise those are decisions that are going to be second-guessed a lot should he have to miss some time.
Yeah, definitely didn't make sense to me why, if he's injured as the backup when you had another guy sitting there, you could have put him in for sure. Kevin, interesting, the changing in goaltender skates, and Henrik Lundqvist kind of has his own custom skates now. Talk about this and how it's maybe evolving the position even more.
Well, you know, Henrik Lundqvist, actually what he's wearing right now is a prototype of a production model that Bauer will have. I think the plan is for it to be at retail in the spring of 2016. So by next April, goaltenders everywhere will be able to get this. And the way Lundqvist is playing in them, I would suggest they're going to do quite well at retail. Basically, it is a goalie skate without a cowling. And if you've never been in a goalie skate, you might not know what I mean by cowling. But picture a goalie skate. You always see that white plastic at the bottom of it.
Yeah,
that's the cowling, okay? That's kind of what the boot sits in. And that cowling then has a runner that the steel is attached to at the bottom. And for years and years, that cowling was a part of goalie protection because we used to have the old skate safe. So you'd actually expose the inside of your foot when you went toe up for those skate saves and kick pucks out. So you needed that extra protection around the boot of your skate because you were purposely steering pucks away with your skate. And, you know, obviously that's not going to feel good without that extra protection. So we've seen the cowling evolve over the years. We've seen Bauer leading the way with a cutout. So on the inside edge, kind of think of just below your big toe, they cut a section of the cowling out. The idea being it would allow your skate to get to the ice further without losing your blade. If you think of resting a skate on its inside edge, and this is a hard visual to paint, but think of your skate going down on your inside edge. You're going to lose contact with the ice with your metal steel blade when the inside of the skate, by kind of underneath your big toe, when that makes contact with the ice, that's when you lose your edge. So for years they've been trying to do things with the cowling. These little cutouts, cutting sections out of it, making the steel taller underneath the cowling, making the plastic runner taller, that would allow goalies to have an edge at a more acute angle. So in other words, get more of that edge without having that slip out. That cowling doesn't hit the ice until the skate's almost flat. That's the ideal, because that's the edge we want to push left, and if I want to move to my right, I need that edge on my left skate to push, and vice versa. So the easier I can get that edge, and if you picture a guy goes into his butterfly, I got both knees on the ice, now I need to push to my left. I will lift the right knee of my pad until I get that edge, and then make that push on my knees without getting up. That's what so much of the game is about today. We call it the down game. The ability to move back and forth on your knees and having that edge is crucial to it. So skate technology has evolved so that we can get that edge easier. It allows us to make that push without having to lift our knee as high. And if you think, you know, like I'm talking like 3-4 inches of knee lift before you can get that push. Think of how much faster that is. You don't have to lift your knee as high. If you have to go back down, it's a shorter distance. I mean, it's just increased the efficiency massively. Well, what's the next step? No cowling whatsoever. So basically, they've wrapped the boot in a hard plastic toe cap, and they've removed the cowling entirely, so there's no interference. It basically, Jason, is like a player skate now for goalies with a bunch of extra protection built into the existing toe cap, not needing that extra layer of protection around the outside. Ryan Miller's wearing a similar version. His is actually custom made, a company out of Winnipeg called VH Skates, and you're seeing a ton of goalies wearing their boots because they're totally custom fit and they love how tight they are. There's no loss of power when you're pushing around on your skates, and that's so crucial for goalies. There's no slippage at all in these custom built skates. They've built a model without a cowling as well, and Ryan's clearly moving better in part because of that. So this is the next step. And Henrik Lundqvist, talking to guys around the team and talking to Steve Valiquette, who's in and around there all the time, last night, he said that Henrik actually cites this for just how explosive he is on the ice right now. He really feels like the skates have made that much of a difference. And I can see it because Henrik is a guy who plays so low and wide in his stance, and he's still able to generate such an explosive push despite having so much of his weight and being so spread out in that low wide stance. It's always been a strength of his game. So anything that accentuates that for him especially is huge. I think other goalies are going to benefit from it, but for him, and to give you an example, Henrik Lundqvist actually sharpens his skates what we call inside edge high. So the inside edge for him is higher, or in the case of if the skate is down on the ice, is lower. And the upside edge, the outside edge almost never touches the ice for him. If you were to ask him to sort of loop to his outside and have to actually get an edge with the outside of his skate, he'd fall flat on his ass every time because there almost is no edge he can grab. He actually sharpens them, so it's just all his work is on the inside edge of his skates. You add in that to the ability to get that edge more easily in these new states, and you know he'll tell you himself, they have made a huge difference. And outside of Carey Price, I'd argue he's been the best in the league.
So the goaltending position, which already hard to score on, seemingly might get even better because with those new skates and the new edges, they're just more powerful. They're going to be even quicker going side to side.
Yeah, better recoveries from their knees. They won't have to give up that ice seal for as long to get a push edge. They're going to have a better seal with their pad. Some guys will be able to make a push. I bet you guys will be able to make a push from the top of the crease back to the post on their knees without lifting their knee more than a couple of inches as they get, you know, they're able to grab that edge much more easily. It's just going to make them a little faster on their knees. And it's interesting, the NHL did try and, I don't know if you remember when Danny Taylor got called up from the American Hockey League to the Calgary Flames a couple of years back. He was wearing what we called Step Steel Extreme. So he had basically like, it was like stilts for goalies. He had his steel on the bottom of his skates was like an extra, I can't remember, I think it was about 10 millimeters taller. And I've worn them as well. Same idea. Just increases that attack angle for a goalie that moves a lot on his knees. And the NHL actually forbade him from wearing them. The problem is that controlled the steel. Nobody's allowed to wear that type of steel. But skate companies have clearly caught on that, hey, there are other ways we can give goalies this advantage. And we're seeing kind of the extremes of it now being brought into the NHL.
Well, it'll be an interesting thing to follow. I'm guessing if a few goalies do it by next year, pretty much every goal in the league will likely be changed over to that. Kevin, as always, great stuff. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Jason.